Paul, I'm going to suggest to you that if you have any incriminating or embarrassing tales about Ben Sherratt, now would be a good time
to fire them all out. Fire them all out, and not one, right? Like, he is the true progression story for an NHL defenseman, right? He came in and was in and out of the lineup at start, and then got to a point where he had earned his right to not be considered ever coming out, and then he moved up and found a real good chemistry with Dustin Byfuglien and played a really important role for us. So he was a really good piece here. We knew it'd be difficult with some of the things we dealt with so many young players scoring so many goals that we were going to be up against it, but now he's in that lead role, so he's kind of gotten to the final stage where he's playing big minutes against the other team's best every night. He'd been training for it, but he did it right. He worked hard to get there, really fit guy in the summer, put his time into it, so he's earned it. You know, you're happy for those guys.
What prevented you from giving him those big minutes? I mean, I'm sure depth was part of it, but, and did you know he had that?
We rolled four. Right, we're at four. So you got Morrissey and Trouba playing against the other team's best most nights because Buff's up the ice an awful lot, and you got him and Buff playing together. There wasn't. It's like, you don't give your kid the keys to the car when they're 14. They got to hit a certain age and time, and he did that here. He had gotten to the point where the minutes almost don't matter. It's a role. He and Buff, if it's not Trouba and Morrissey, it's going to be Sherratt and Byfuglien going out and played. And now, at that time, we had, Myers and Kulikov in the 5-6, which brought everybody's minutes slightly down because those guys want to get out. It was a pretty deep back end. We were a really, really young forward unit, so we had our maturity and our experience on the blue line. So in his last year here, maybe in his last 2 years, but certainly in his last year, he was actually in the same kind of role, right? We just had more defensemen probably than most NHL teams. We spread the minutes around.
Paul, you talked about Christmas hockey and distractions and how it can be maybe tough this time of year, but does it help having a team like Montreal coming in? You know the building's going to be pretty wired.
Yeah, it was wired last night too, right? There was, at times, as much action in the stands. There was pretty good. It does. The buzz in the building in Winnipeg matters, right? There's it gets going right around the national anthems. There'll be one. They'll be cheering for both teams. So it'll be good. It's going to be an exciting game.
What can you tell us about Patrick Laine today compared to Patrick Laine last year?
Well, just maturity. Yeah. What makes Patrick so unusual is that, I mean, his shot and his goal scoring was at an extreme level, right? So that has nothing to do with age. He's in the top two or three shooters in the world. Even a year ago, he thought it was an off year because he didn't score 90. So, and then the other end of that is you come to the league as an 18-year-old. And that's still true, too. So all of the other parts of his game have to be almost built from a time that physically he's not, ready to play that big role. Just learning the game as a European player coming to smaller ice, there's just so much more to learn. And we're trying to win, too, at the same time. We've got a bunch of other young guys now. Last night he would play against Stahl with Scheifele, against the other team's best, and he's still learning his game. His shot was right back to, we've seen those goals before. He's made a huge improvement, and he continues to get better. This guy's going to be a big, strong power forward in this league, and over the next 3 or 4 years he's going to get faster, stronger, his reads will get quicker. All those things that young players go through, but the shot's going to be there.
With the experience that you had, would you say that sometimes we expect too much on 18, 19 years old kid, even if it's a young league now?
100%, because and there's so much more to the game than just the exciting stats, but that's what most people would see, rightfully so. When a fan of the game turns around and watches this kid shoot the puck, say, well, why don't we just play him 30 minutes, right? Because it's just awesome to watch. The pressure on that, and then all the players in the room know the game that you're supposed to play, so they all see the mistakes. They see all the young mistakes, so there's a dynamic in the room that's important, too, to develop these guys. You've got to be careful about how much you give them too early. But we've had over the last 4 years, we've just had a real good run of very good young players that the coach at least could play them while they were developing, right? It used to be you'd grind them into their game. You'd every mistake, they'd be on the bench. You'd have to learn all the defensive game because young players really couldn't produce at those levels. The game was different. Right? You guys think back to Joe Thornton playing on the fourth line in Boston, right? Because he wasn't big and strong enough.
Yeah, under Pat Burns, yes.
Yeah, well, right. I mean, I remember reading articles, and Pat's trying to explain to him, like, he's got to probably put on 15, 20 pounds because the league was so different. Now these guys, if they can skate or they have hand skills, they can play right away. But that doesn't mean they understand the game defensively or all the other pieces without the puck any better than those kids did. They just can produce now. So you can play these kids now because they can produce, but you still have to develop all that other part along with them.
Plenty of concerns with the guys you missed today?
Yeah, none. None will all be in.
And sorry, just we were talking with Nathan Beaulieu and a couple other guys in the room about his fight yesterday, and we saw post-game they give him the helmet, and Blake talks about everybody kind of having each other's back. I mean, what is the importance of something like that and what he did and obviously what had happened to Brian in the preseason?
Yeah. It wasn't something he was searching, I don't think. There's the most important thing that happens with your NHL team is that room takes on a life of its own in a very positive way, and that's, you know, being connected. And, Borky blocks a shot at the end. We're on the power play, but he blocks a heavy shot, and so does Adam Lowry in a 6-0 game. Because they want Connor Hellebuyck to get that shutout. And that's the awareness for each other. And I'll go back to, and there's just not a lot of fighting, but you go back to what Adam Lowry kind of had to do in Vegas and then look at the change in our group. What I believe we have here right now, and it's being built, is a respect for each other, and not just the guys that score or not just the points guys. Everybody's individual role on this team. The guys that are there to block shots, the guys who eventually sometimes have to police the game a little bit. There's a great respect being built for that, and that's important. What's most important is it has nothing to do with the coaching staff. It has to do with the jokes they tell on their own, the music that they listen to. The I don't know if you watched the end of our practice. I mean, that was serious business going on down there. There was a competition there. That's the good stuff.
Yeah, Nathan said that he's been on a lot of teams where they talk about having each other's backs, accountability to each other. This is the first team, he said, where he feels like they're actually preaching it as opposed to just talking about it.
And this player is doing it, right? So we would have talked about the importance of it at the start of the year, and then it becomes theirs, right? How they treat each other, we feel, is very probably the most important thing that happens in the Jets locker room, how they respect each other, and then they'll do more for each other on the ice, right? The bench is a good place for us right now. Even in our last two losses, they say the right things. More importantly, they mean them. They mean what they say on the bench about staying in the fight. You know, it got away from us in against Chicago, but we kind of liked what we were doing for big parts of that game. We've had a couple of tough nights here in the last 2 weeks, but they mean what they say.
Do you have a little timeline for Mathieu
Péau since the hit? Yeah, so he's getting better. We're having good days now. I think maybe we kind of had our fingers crossed at some point because it was Montreal. You know, it would mean so much for him to play in this game, but it's not going to be Montreal. And then there'll be three more days here. It is possible that he might be ready for St. Louis, but even with that one, having 3 days off, I may want to... We're being very, very cautious with anything that looks like any kind of symptoms, but he's had good days, so he's not far off, I don't think.
With those examples of team unity that you mentioned, you're talking about in the room, the music, all those sorts of things. With Beaulieu's fight specifically, is that a moment where fights drive unity? And I don't think most of them do, but that one.
I would say awareness. Like, nobody knew it was coming. Like, it wasn't, they weren't chasing it. The game got played, right? And then I don't think that the Minnesota player was shying away from it either. I mean, it was on, and everything is kind of now settled, I think, right? So that's, for both teams, it's great when the players take care of those kind of things, right? And then we move on.
Yeah, I don't want to harp on it too much, but
you're going
against,
to.
I'm going to.
And
it's
going to be the last question.
And Scotty's
waiting. All right. You guys had a game against them on October 10th, and nothing happens in that game. Like,
right, I don't.
Is that just a...
You know what I'm getting at? The true answer is I don't know. Right? I there was never a sense. That game last night was really important to us and to Minnesota, where we are in the standings, and with an understanding of what's going to happen here in the Central Division in the back half of this season. That was a really big game that needed to get settled first. And then it didn't get chased. This is not a situation where a guy chased a guy around the ice. It was just they met in the corner and it was on, and why wouldn't you? So you don't react to every hard hit or everything that happens to somebody. The games got played first. there was nothing there the first time, and it certainly wasn't targeted by any means, so it just kind of happened. But the other players were aware of it. That's the most important thing, right?